Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Why We Plan. I'm John Brown, your host and the founder of BEI. Again, welcome. I have an exciting guest today to talk about your emotional side of planning an exit. That's part of it. I think you'll find this a fascinating podcast, so stay on board. With me today is Charis, rhymes with Paris, Santilli. Welcome, Charis.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got interested in your new company.
Okay. I grew up in an entrepreneurial household, and I've been an entrepreneur myself for over 20 years. So I'm very passionate about entrepreneurship and helping entrepreneurs. I'm really coming to learn as I'm getting into your industry how important exit planning is and pieces of exit planning that I didn't know existed. Mm-hmm. And because my first experience with exit was my parents, who were basically one of your worst case scenarios and lost their business due to a freak accident that happened to us. And my father was disabled in a hot air balloon accident on his 50th birthday that we were involved in and paralyzed. And that led to, you know, various circumstances where the business relied on him. He didn't have the pieces in place that I'm now learning and understanding from talking to planners and in this world that would be ideal to have had in place at the time. And they ended up losing the business within a handful of years. So that's like a whole piece of my story that led me many years later to become a life coach, because I found I needed some help to deal with certain coping mechanisms I had. I became a bit of a workaholic and a busy bee, stuffing my own emotions and feelings, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs do. I think that a lot of us, we have this fabulous drive and it's like a superpower. And at the same time, it can also be, I guess, kind of our kryptonite too.
Sure.
And it can cause us to set aside, bury, camouflage, not face our feelings. And so with anything like a transition, especially an exit of a business, and a business being like a baby, because I know my parents was like a baby. Mm-hmm. It was like a sibling to me for sure. Started in our kitchen even. It was very intimate and personal in our lives. And my businesses have been like children too, to the thought of giving that up, moving it on, even if it's by choice, is going to bring up a lot of emotions. So fast forward to now, I'm starting to work with business owners who are nearing that exit transition phase and or post-exit, who are realizing and kind of being slapped in the face with the emotional side that they didn't, maybe they heard might happen, but didn't quite expect how much could come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like post-exit depression in a sense. They've lost a sense of their self. So we've seen that, and I think our advisors who are BEI members understand that. I don't know that they have the tools to deal with it, but I think they understand it, which is at least a step forward. So what are you doing now? What's your practice like now?
So I am, I have two sets of entrepreneurs I work with. So one is the people in the exit transition and helping them through these big transitions. And then also, I also have a passion for dealing with working with entrepreneurs who are still in the thick of it and helping them go from busy to balanced and finding this sense of internal balance, because the external balance is really a myth, but there is a way to feel more balanced inside and be able to find that more in our days. And so so I have a passion working with them and planners and fit into that category as well, definitely go-getters, high achievers, but then their clients in the exit planning process. So I'm really loving these two core categories of entrepreneurs.
So how do you work with owners who are either thinking about exiting or maybe have already started the process, but they haven't exited yet? What do you bring to the table?
So I, my background, I have certifications in coaching. So when people hear the word coach, these days it is, it's been changed over time. A lot of people who are actually technically consultants have taken on that term. Mm-hmm. And it's, I am, my training is in true life coaching, which is like not telling people and presenting, hey, this is what you should do. I mean, I will, of course, we can brainstorm and I'll help them think outside the box, but it's really for them to uncover what is really best for them. And my job is to ask the best questions at the best times to figure that out. So I'm a certified fearless living coach and a certified fearless trainer, and I'm also a positive intelligence trainer. And these modalities, fearless living and positive intelligence, weave together really beautifully. They're both based in neuroscience. So what I do is has very practical, you know, foundations, and it's not fluff. And the exercises and the tools and tips and tricks I teach my clients are, people often say, very actionable steps. Very simple, but usually simple is often the best, and surprisingly can get us the best results. But the fact of me being a certified fearless living coach and trainer, that really comes to the table, brings a lot of value to the table in this case of these, of exiting a business, because truly what is happening is fear is coming up all over the place. And they may not say or think that they're scared of selling their business or scared to retire, so should that be the choice. However, the truth is that is actually what's happening. Because literally the way our brain is working, everything that's in our life right now is in our comfort zone. And if we want to step out and change any piece of it, even if it's not quote unquote comfortable, we are going to trigger the fear center in our brain to basically snap us back and say, no, you can't cross that line. You can't make this change in your life, because everything right now I know is keeping you alive. So I don't want you to change anything, because at least you're alive, because I'm supposed to, that's my job. And so making that change, delegating more, letting go, facing the valuation challenges and numbers that they may not like, they may have to give up certain images of certain things they wanted it to be or not be, and then what they were going to do after. There's so much change happening that they're going to, these are stretches and risks that are coming up, that are, fear is going to pop up all over the place. And it's just the way we work as a human being. And so, so me having that as my core training really is valuable.
You know, it's interesting. I've never heard of being a fearless coach. I've never heard that term, the two words spoken together. So,
my coach was actually one of the first, the founder of Fearless Living was one of the first 10 coaches in the entire world. And she was the first coach on TV, first life coach.
On Fearless Living.
And her, yeah, she's a repeat Oprah guest and an Emmy Award winner, really remarkable. And she became my coach. And then she became my mentor. And I decided, you know, I was sparked to become a coach myself and really switch gears, because I used to be in marketing. And so, yeah, it's a cool thing. And fear is, you know, people hear fear and they typically think the common things, you know, spiders, snakes, jumping out of an airplane, you know, these big things.
Things that can kill you or hurt you. Yeah.
But the truth is, I don't know about you, but, you know, every once in a while I hesitate to send an email or send a text, or I get nervous if I see a text or an email from a certain person. Mm-hmm. Might have my heart race a little. Might get a little flush when I think about something or a conversation I need to have. Technically, I'm having fear responses. So fear is popping up every day, multiple times a day for all of us. And if we don't know how to work with it, accept it, become aware of it, and then work around it and work through it at times too, we're really limiting our lives. And we're not living our best life, and a life that's going to be truly fulfilling and satisfying and joyful.
So I think it's, so let me, I want to bring this into sort of the exit planning world a little bit. So one fear, and so when we talk about this, it's the fear the owner has. And we can talk about the fear maybe advisors have in this too. But the first thing I want to talk about is the fear that owners have that they don't recognize or refuse to recognize. And who can help them understand that? At some point, it's going to have to be this planning advisor. So what does, let's say, a financial advisor who's experienced, who's intelligent, who's somewhat compassionate, but they don't know how to deal with the owner's fear that the owner's not even recognizing? So a typical fear would be the fear of change.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, I'm going to change from being the CEO with the corner office to selling my business, and now I don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge, maybe the biggest fear I can think of offhand that owners have. It prevents them from moving forward.
Well, there's a couple things. So first of all, I've started working with clients with one of your members who actually introduced me to BEI and brought me here today. But what he did initially is he introduced me to set up a three-way call with me and the client and he basically said to the client, I'd like you to be open-minded. I want you to meet this person. And so we met and I just talked to them I answered questions. I offered up what I could do to help and what was going on. And he ended up hiring me. That was one way of introducing me in. Well, we've also identified that what he's going to do in the future, this planner, that is going to bring me in when he presents. He has a presentation he does at the beginning of the process. I don't know if everybody does this or not, but he shared that with me. We walked through it and looked at it, his process, and showing this is the ideal scenario, and this is how I like to work, and this is what I've seen works the best. We can go this path, and this is the possible result. Here's kind of a worst case scenario if we don't really do this the best way, and here's the best case scenario, and this is the way I like to do it and why, and here's my track record, et cetera. And in that, he presents the team that he wants to assemble. And on that team, and we really talked it all through, and we realized the ideal scenario would be having me on board from the get-go. So he edited the slide and added me in the picture.
You're just an editor.
I know, just dropped me in, but I have now claimed a whole spot in this, circle of team members, a spot of my own. So he'll talk through and a couple bullet points like he's doing for each team member of who and why. And so the concept would be introduced at the beginning. This is the ideal scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say, here's what I found is the most successful, because there ends up being a lot of emotional challenges along the way because you're making huge life decisions and changes, and this is your baby. And, so I really think highly of this, of Charis, and da, 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 da. So that's another approach and an ideal world. And then if it's mid-process, it could just be a fact of, well, fortunately, we're in a world now where people are more open to this kind of thing, and I'm not a therapist, and so the word therapy or therapist might be a little, coach is a little more disarming, I guess, not so scary, because I'm not
a
therapist. I'm definitely not a therapist.
Yeah.
So the bringing me in that case would be, hey, I think that you working with a coach, she's a transition coach and will help with certain aspects of this process. And so it may be kind of the softer stuff, but really can be super valuable in helping make all of this be smoother, possibly have you help you to make the best decisions, even better decisions that could possibly get you more money.
Mm-hmm.
And make you feel better during the process and at the end of the process. Like, don't you want that? Like, that's the way I would have them buy in.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. So another area where I don't know if fear is quite the right word, but conflict and uncertainty is family transition planning.
Mm-hmm.
Where typically dad, who's typically the owner, wants to transfer the business to the children, one or more children, but holds back. Maybe it's because they don't want to lose control. Maybe it's because they don't fully trust the child, but they're not going to say that. So do you deal with family issues like that as a coach?
Absolutely. I mean, as a coach, it's all about, there's a lot. A coach is a true life coach, like we talked about the difference, but a true life coach is someone who can be so instrumental, especially in fearless living. Our foundational training is very much around communication skills. Mm-hmm. And what I've experienced in my personal family challenges over the years and seeing others and people around me and friends and clients, family challenges boil down to communication. Mm-hmm. And people being fear does come up. It's actually being afraid to say something because they either don't want to hurt someone or they have no idea how to say it. Mm-hmm. And they're scared of the consequences. And so there's ways to do all of that, but you need to get the skills to do that. And we, unfortunately, I wish that communication and true communication skills were in our school systems, because that would make everybody better and relationships so much smoother. But it's not. So that's where somebody like me can come in and help with, because I can literally role play with them. I can literally help them with the words and how to say things, different ways to present things that won't come across as attacking, and help them stand in their power to be able to say what is going on, but in a way that is the least likely to spark conflict. Mm-hmm.
So the advisors listening in, can you offer some suggestions to them on how they can identify the roadblocks caused by fear from moving an exit plan forward or having the owner make decisions they need to make, but they're procrastinating? And we tend to think it's because they don't want to leave the business or something like that, but often they do want to leave the business, mm-hmm. but they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help advisors recognize some of those issues and maybe offer a suggestion on how to deal with that?
I think anytime, procrastination is a perfect example. If you notice procrastination is happening, something is coming up that is getting in the way emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So even the most hardworking, effective, productive people will plow through and work crazy hours on certain things and then procrastinate on others. There's some emotional issue coming up with the things that they're procrastinating on. So procrastination, perfectionism, getting stuck in kind of spinning in a loop around trying to figure out the perfect scenarios, any emotion, you know, body language, any emotional kind of significant change of attitude, significant frustration or anger moments like that. When people say I need to, or when they say I have to or should, those are key words that show there's like a sense of an obligation, mm-hmm. and they're kind of got some resistance to something. We're very patterned with our words and the things we say. So the certain word choices, but you know, those might be a few in general when you see a big emotional flip,
mm-hmm.
or when something just doesn't make sense. And the biggest thing I think I would say for the advisors is trusting your gut. If you just feel like something's a little off, or you just like feel like the person's in their way, or you feel frustrated with them,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, it may be your own stuff. So that's something to look at. Mm-hmm. Is there something about your own life that is coming up and being triggered that really has nothing to do with the client? So that's something to kind of look at and sort out mm-hmm. with yourself. But if you check in with yourself and you're kind of in a calm place and not riled up and frustrated in that moment, and you just check in and be like, is something going on with them? And if the first little whisper you hear inside of you is yes, trust that. That's, I think, the biggest thing that I have gotten out of coaching as a client myself, as of a coach. And then one of the biggest things that I provide to clients is helping them learn how to trust themselves. And that is one of the best ways to overcome those fearful moments, because if we can trust ourselves more, well, and I'll tell you, that made a huge life change for myself. I mean, I actually exited a prior business of mine a few years ago, and it was not an ideal, it wasn't like my parents, but it was not the exit I dreamed of. It was not the one I was going for. And yet I knew it was the best thing for me, because I needed to make some significant changes for my own mental and physical health and well-being. And I worked with one of your advisors and actually figured out a plan for a way for the business to carry on without me. But the reason I was able to do that, and the reason I was able to create my coaching practice that I have now, is because I trusted myself, and I did what probably didn't make sense to a lot of people, but boy, I'm so much happier.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Anything else you want to add?
If you're listening to this and you're a podcast listener, I have my own podcast. So if they wanted to check it out.
So what's the name of the podcast?
It's Cherish Your Life. So it's a little play on words with my first name. And my first name, yes, like Paris, but with a C-H. Cherish Your Life.
Well, thank you, Cherish.
Thank you.
I cherish this podcast. Thanks a lot.